let us tell them and remove this munkar. They said, no, leave them. Why? Because if they are not intoxicated, and if they are in their senses, they will go to our country, our town, they will take our money, and they are going to commit adultery with our women. So leave them in their drunkenness. So that is the understanding which is only with the top scholars of the great scholars of Islam.
تفضل او جيتنا
last question then Sheikh has to report to another case as well for Jinnah
يجب ان تفهم يا اخي قضية مهمة ان ما معنى الفتنة يعني يحصل في المسجد فتنة بين المسلمين وضرب وتنازع اما مجرد الاستغراب ومجرد الاستنكار فلا تترك السنن فكيف يعرفها الناس ولكن كن حكيما في البيان وقدم بين يدي سنتك كلام طيب نعم
Yes, the question was that you know, جنت في الاستراحة and when you rise from first raka and third raka after sajda you sit a while and then you stand up, that is a sunnah so he says that if I go to a mosque where the people don't do it should I leave the sunnah because there would be a fitna after that or should I do it because I want to teach them they should know that this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the answer which was given by Sheikh is that if there is a real fitna and if people are going to fight you or expel you from the mosque then you can say oh there is something worse which is coming out of this sunnah but as long as they just see you as an alien person or something alien has been done so that is not a fitna you should have to do it so let the people know it how the people are going to know such things if you don't do it
من مديرك يتحرج ما تخاف من نفسك تتحرج مع الله
يعني شخص يعني لازم بدنا نروح الجمعه
اي ولو كان عندي واذا بطلك من العمل انت تفطر قبله انتهي كلمتي هذه بنصيحتين مختصرتين اولاهما ان تنظر الى الشبهات حول الدعوه او الى اتهامات وتقدم مقدمه بين يدي كلمتك مدافعا عن الشبهات مدافعا عن الاتهامات ورد الشبهات
Before that, the question which was asked by our brother, he said that, should I leave Jummah prayer if my boss, who is a non-Muslim, does not allow me to go for Jummah, and I fear to be expelled. So, Sheikh has said that, you expel him before he expels you. I mean, you should go for Jummah, you don't expel, don't leave your Jummah. Don't you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You just fear that he would be annoyed. By your action. What about Allah? Would you not be annoyed by your action? And then she says that I leave to you two another advices. First of all, that you see to all the doubts which comes to your mind, take them, consider them, and what to do them next.
فمثلا انت في بيئه يتهمون الدعوه السلفيين انهم لا يصلون على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم او في بيئه يتهمون ان السلفيين عملاء للحكام يرضون بظلم الحكام
For example, you are living in a society where people think that you people Salafiyin you don't say Salah upon the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم or you are just agents for some rulers You don't raise your fingers upon them. And if you are living in such society, what to do then?
فأنت تقدم مقدمة أو درس أو محاضرة أو خطبة جمعة عن أهمية فضل الصلاة على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دون أن تقول نحن متهمون أننا لا نصلي على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ونحن نصلي لا تتكلم هكذا ابدأ بخطبة قوية أو محاضرة قوية على فضل الصلاة على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
As far as the first example is concerned, that they say that these people, they don't say salah from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How to tackle it? Give a good speech, either the Friday speech or any other opportunity, and give a speech about the excellence of saying salah upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Without saying that we people are accused of this and that, don't say that. Just give the excellence of saying salah upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
وكذلك تلقي خطبة في فضل الأئمة الأربعة لتدفع شبهة شتمنا وطعننا بهم رضوان الله عليهم.
Again, the second thing, some people say, oh, these people they don't love the four imams. So, give them a good speech, giving the excellence of respect of all the imams, the dignity they deserve from us, and that would be the way, the gate to open
وكذلك تتكلم عن الظلمة كما تكلم الأنبياء عليهم تتكلم عن الحكام الظلمة والحكام الذين لا يحكمون بشرع الله وأنهم ظلمة وأنهم على خطر لكن لا تسمي ولا تثير.
In the same way, you speak about all the rulers who are unjust, speak about their injustice, speak about their tyranny, speak about their ill treatment of the people. But don't name them. Don't try to rise the people against them. That is not to be a great thing.
بهذه الطريقة البديعة تخلق أمامك تجعل لنفسك وقاية درع كبير ويصبحونهم يتصارعون فيما بينهم ويقولون أنك تقول كذا وغيرهم يقول كذا وأنت تنجو منهم من شرهم. يعني هم فيما بينهم يصبحون يقولون لا هذا كذب هو صلى على النبي هذا كذب هو ذكر ظلم الظالمين هذا كذب هو ذكر فضل العلم الأربعة فيصبح الناس يدافعون عنه.
This is how you can create a very strong shield for yourself to protect you. And once you give such type of speech, now the people who oppose you, they are going to blame each other and label each other. They are going to fight each other. There is one of them will say, oh, that person prays upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The other will say, no, he does not. So they will be fighting among themselves. And you will go start free. The second piece of advice is in the next year, inshallah. Which year? Hijra or
year? That is the
هجرة إيار أو إيش
لا ديار ديار.
عمل هجرة إيار سمسون.
لا يدرون ما هي النصيحة؟ يعلمون ما هي النصيحة؟
عارفين زي.
لا يسألهم.
They know what the advice he wants to give. They know that. They know that. No.
You know?
لا.
السنة القادمة سأنظر عملتم لهذه المحاضرة أم لم تعملوا وسأنصحكم بقوله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا لما تقولون ما لا تفعلون.
Next year I'm going to see whether you have practiced what I have said or not. Because some of them have said, oh believers, why don't you say those things which you don't practice.
سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت.
That is not true. If these things were proved by authentic hadith, it must be. Encouraging people to do it by using some hadith ba'if, well, that is nice. But these things, the legality, the legality of this work, it should be based on hadith sahih. Encouraging people, if you may have some hadith which encourage people to do that thing which is proved by authentic narration, there is nothing wrong. But still we have something better. We say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed religion, isn't it? Didn't Allah complete his religion? Didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perfected his favor on us or not? So, do we say the authentics that we have today are enough? So we don't need the hadith da'if anymore. We don't need it. Why do we have to need it? So there are certain conditions for us to accept the hadith da'if in some ways. That this da'if should not be very da'if, very weak. If it's very weak, it's rejected. There are some hadith, you know, they have some problems, very little problems, that turns the hadith to be right, but not very bad, very weak. Very little weak. So we may use it in some circumstances. But to close the file of this case, we say, what Allah has granted us, the reports, the authentic reports that we have today, I think it suffices us enough. Because Allah did not. Because if we don't say that, then we would say, well, we need the hadith da'if. If we need the hadith da'if, that means Allah did not complete the religion. We need the unauthentic narrations to complete the religion. Is that clear, brothers, to you? Right. That's number two. We find shortcomings in the aspects of da'wah, whether among the Ikhwan al-Muslimin, or Tabligh, or Salafiyin, or whatever. We find some shortcomings. Like as I said, Tabligh, they say, well, you have to go out. And they use the verses which talk about jihad, you know, fighting the enemies. Because Allah used the word, sometimes the word خُرُوج فِي سَبِيلَ, that means they go out. Like for example, heard in the Quran, وَلَوْ أَرَادُوا الْخُرُوجَ, if they want to go out, you know, for fight, they would have prepared themselves for it. But Allah hated them to go out. And He said, stay with those who are staying. You know, the verse in Surah Tawbah. So they use that verse. For what? They use it against the one who does not accept to go with them. They say, if you really intended, if you have intended to go out with us, you would have prepared yourself for it. But Allah knows that you don't want it. So Allah hated you to go out with us. So it was said to you, stay with those who stay. They use that verse, which talks about what? It talks about jihad. Going out to fight and to make jihad against the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They should not use that verse for other purposes. What is the mistake? Why do they use it? Because they concentrate on going out for da'wah. Going out for jihad is not in their schedule. Is it a mistake? This is a mistake. So they speak about going out. They may need some, you know, like this brother, for example. He recently repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God bless him, there's no problem. But what happens, they say, please, can you give us a talk? This person can give a talk. He can't give a talk, Yahi. He just repented yesterday, and he wants him to give a talk today. That's not good. When we talk about da'wah, we should prepare people for that. Because if this flat is empty, that's not surprising me from first. If it's empty, flat. So if this brain is empty, if it does not memorize قال الله قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, what are you going to speak with people? Why they fail in this mistake? Because they care about خروج, they don't care about anything. This is a mistake. Another mistake, they don't concentrate on Tawheed. Tawheed is the way of the Prophet. The first thing is to talk about these issues. Forget about the Kabirna. But we should not forget. And these people are good people, humble people. Sometimes you feel like, you know, you feel good brotherhood with them. Let's see the truth, Akhi. Right? Many people are accepted Islam by these people of Kabir. Why don't we find the same thing with the people of Salafiyin, for example? Because these people of Tabir, they have more contacts with people. You feel you feel that they are humble people. Okay? You feel them available everywhere. They go out, they walk, they move. But you don't move like them, maybe. So we need this as a lesson for us. We should rather make tabligh better than them. Because we have the tabligh on the way, by the way of the Prophet, and with knowledge. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. So we take that lesson, brothers. Okay? So, many harakat, many Islamic movements today, they think that Islam will not flourish, Islam will not spread except by their own corner. So the corner of the tabligh is khuruj. The corner of the Ikhwan Muslimin, bay'ah and politics. Okay? The corner of Jamaat al-Tahrir, Hizb al-Tahrir, politics. Secret movement, politics. Khilafah, alaykum as-salam. Khilafah. They say, we don't do anything now. Anything. Because this society is society of Jahiliyyah. The Muslims they're not talking about England. They're talking about the Muslim environment, such as, for example, India. They talk about Egypt. They talk about, Lebanon. They talk about Saudi Arabia. They talk about Gulf countries. They say, these are societies of Jahiliyyah. We don't enjoy what is good. We don't forbid what is bad. Until we catch the Khilafah, when we catch the Khilafah, we can change everything by one signature, one autograph. It's not that easy. So one person said to me, suppose we have a corrupted tree, spoiled. It's spoiled. It does not give fruit anymore. What we are going to do? Do we try to fix it? Do we try to fix the branches? Or we cut the bases? As long as we cut the bases, we've got to spoil the tree. But you know something? This example that you gave me is wrong. It does not match the situation of the people today. I can give you better example than your own example. If you have 100 sheep, and these 100 sheep are getting lost, they went away suddenly. What do you say? Do you say, well, since most of them have gone, I'm not going to try my best to get the rest. Let's all go. Either they all come back or they all go away. What is better? To do that or to catch whatever you can, as much as you can. So even if we live in ignorant society or kafir government, we have to enjoin what is good and to forbid what is bad. Because this ignorant person who fell in corruption, who's corrupted because of the wrong system of the government, because of the corruption that the government encourages, who's responsible for that person at the day of judgment? We, the du'a, we will be responsible at the day of judgment. God will, he will not blame himself alone, but he will blame those who know the wrong, and they did not forbid it, they did not speak out. Because they were waiting for Khilafah to come. Khilafah may come, it may return, it may not return, maybe it will return, alhamdulillah, for sure. But it may get delayed, it may be postponed, it may occur maybe after 100, 200 years. Are you going to wait 200 years? You will die before that. So what will you do for Islam before you die? These hundreds or maybe thousands or hundreds of thousands of people are dying every day. Ignorant Muslims, they make tawaf, circumambulation against the grave. What have you done for them? You say we leave them until we catch the government? Until we rule? You have to give a word for Islam before you die. Before this Khilafah may come back. And the return of Khilafah is conditioned. There are conditions for that. You have to prepare for the coming of Khilafah. To do what? To fix the population system, to maintain the population, to maintain the ordinary people, to maintain them, to fix, to rectify, to reform. Don't tell me that God will return it to you even if you don't reform. No. This is a mistake of Ikhwan Muslimin. This is a mistake of Hizb al-Tahrir. That's wrong policy. Because you have to say, because Allah punished us, because we did not put in consideration reforming the situation of the majority of the people. Because we're not really, we are really careless about the situation of the people. We should not be careful. We should be careful. If Allah sees that the majority of society change, He will change. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah does not change the situation of people until they make the change by themselves. So we now close the file of Hizb al-Tahrir. Open the file of Al-Ikhwan. Al-Ikhwan al-Muslimin. They don't care about Aqidah. Al-Ikhwan al-Muslimin don't care about Aqidah because they say, well, if you want to open the file of Aqidah, that means we are going to separate the Ummah. Why? Because we have Shia, we have etc. We have, what are we going to do with these people? Do we say that? If we care about Aqidah, that means we should not deal with these people. So by that, they said, well, there's nothing wrong. You see, this person says La ilaha illallah. The Shia say La ilaha illallah. The Sufis say La ilaha illallah. Everybody say that. So we collect, we gather these who say La ilaha illallah. We mix ourselves together, and then we work for Islam against our enemies. That's not true. The Islamic body is inflicted with many diseases. The Islamic body is sick because many microbes are affecting this body. You should not tell me that, well, despite all of the diseases that the Muslim body is inflicted today with, we are ordering the Islamic body to go to stand up and to fight the enemies, the Christians and the Jews. You can't. Because the Christians and the Jews know that these microbes will guarantee weakening this Islamic body. So they are trying their best to bring, to use, to deal with some people of bid'ah, with heretic people who claim that they are Muslims and they are destroying Islam from inside by that. So if we want to fight the Yahud and Nasara, we have to prepare for that. The Islamic body should be qualified for that. If you accept the Islamic body to be inflicted with these diseases, and these people are diseases, you won't be able to fight the Jews and the Christians. Do you remember when the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they were ordered to stay on top of the mountain and to say to them, never leave the place, whatever happens, they disobeyed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, well, the fight is finished, so let's get the booty. So as they left the place, the Prophet said, even if you see us taken by the birds, by the eagles, and they are eating us, if you see us in any circumstance, don't leave your places. And they left their place. They say, well, the war is gone, finished, and now we have to collect the booty. Khalid bin Walid, he was kafir at that time. He returned, he led his army, he came from behind, and he shocked the Muslims, and they had that problem. A small disobedience. It is not deliberate disobedience. They thought that now it's finished. And they forgot that the Prophet said, never leave in any occasion. For any reason you should not leave the place until I tell you to leave the place. If a small mistake affected the brothers and they had a big problem with the companions, and they had that big problem. What about our mistakes that we see today? We see shifts. We see innovations, many innovations. People are worshipping God by dancing to Him. You see, we denounce the Christians when they dance in the church, but we don't denounce our people. We have so-called Muslims, they are dancing for Allah, going left and right. And they go like this, like the Jews. You see, the Sufi people. If you compare what the Sufi do If you compare it to the same way of Jewish worship, you won't find big difference. You won't find big difference. So, this is wrong because it opposes the prophetic way of Dawah. What was the prophet's procedure of Dawah? They did not say, well, you can, if you want to make shirk, no problem, you want to make bid'ah, no problem, but it's important to say La ilaha illallah. How easy for everybody is to say La ilaha illallah, but how difficult is to practice La ilaha illallah in its proper, proper context. How difficult is it? Everybody can say La ilaha illallah. Even the Christian may say La ilaha illallah. See, some Christians in our Arab Arabian country, when they get angry, they say La ilaha illallah. So one brother says, oh, he became Muslim. See, everybody can say La ilaha illallah, but how to practice La ilaha illallah, how to fulfill the conditions of La ilaha illallah, that is not easy. So, we return to the way of our ancestors, the companions. Did they allow the bid'ah in their environment? No. They were so tough and blunt and harsh, and they have the right to do that. They were so harsh against those who made bid'ah. So if they think that they can get Islam, they can gain by this political way, they leave the people and they care about the parliaments, you know, they have to give talk in the parliaments. See, these ordinary people, they listen to you more than these people in the parliament listen to you. They listen more than them. Why don't you give talk to these ordinary people? Why don't you teach them Islam? You are the caller for Islam. You must teach people Islam. You keep them ignorant and you want them to make bay'ah. The most important thing that he must follow you and gives you bay'ah. That's not Islam. That's why many people were afraid to follow certain da'iyah. That happened to me. Sometimes I was calling the person and I said, please, why don't you come to my place? I'll teach you Quran. He said, no, please, I hate politics. I'm not going to teach you politics. I want you to memorize the Quran, to know how to recite the Quran, and to know some hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then you can go away. I don't want anything from you. He said, but you're not going to ask me to be bay'ah for you? No. You're not going to talk politics? No, I'm not going to talk politics. I want to teach you how to be a good Muslim, practicing Muslim, and you can go away afterwards. I don't need you anymore. I'm not seeking followers. So he said, well, your way of dawah seems good. People are afraid of joining these harakas. They want to study Islam, I think. They want to study Islam, but they're afraid that these people will take advantage of them. And they will, you know, drag them and force them to give bay'ah to give. Therefore, working for Islam purely today, purely for Islam, merely for Islam, is very important. Why? The mistake that happened, that when this political Islamic party, political, they change Islam to be political, merely political. They know very small reports about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They know very small verses of the Quran. They don't memorize the Quran, they don't memorize the Sunnah. Their intention is directed only on political issues. So, when the government gives a strike for this party, okay, the people will say, well, we are not concerned. Those are political people, they have some problems with the political government. But when people know that this person is working for Islam, he's not looking for parties, he does not want the people to join his party, he's not working for the benefit of the party, he is working for Islam. You know what's going to happen after that? When he will be faced, persecuted by the government, the people will feel sticky with him, and they will give him their hand. Because they will find now that this is a fight between the government and Islam. It's not a fight between the government and a party, political party. That's what's happening today in Saudi Arabia. Salman and Safar, I think you have heard of them. Those people are getting persecuted. Everybody is with them today. Those people say, well, these people are not looking for, they are not political parties. They are looking for Islam. And when they hear their cassette recording, they know that those people are not, they are not calling people for something special. They are calling people for Islam. And they are persecuted because of Islam. That will bring the truth. That will be effective. More effective than founding, you know, establishing a political party. It's a parallel party of the non-Muslim party. It's something similar. You know, they took the idea from these conservatives, right? Yeah, you know, conservative party, political party, democratic party. So they said, why don't we make Islamic party? Political Islamic party. Well, it's a good idea. Khilafah will not come through this kind of work. You keep the people ignorant, you don't teach them Islam, and you work on politics, and you will find out that you are gaining personally by this political movement, and then you forget about the people. You'll be responsible, man. You're going to be responsible for these unlearned people. It will be said, were you jealous for Islam? You were jealous for Dawah? What did you give Dawah to those people, according to the people? Did you speak against Tawaf, against around the grave? Did you speak against the Bid'ah that's widespread in the mosque today? No. Why? I was busy in the parliament. So a strong way to return the Muslims to Islam and to return Muslims to Islam. What is the mistake of these people? They took a corner of Dawah, one corner, and they stayed there, and they concentrated on this corner, and they thought that Islam will return by this corner. Coming to the Salafi people now. The Salafi people, in general, we find that there is a shortcoming about Tarbiyah, with regard to Tarbiyah. How do you say Tarbiyah? Discipline? Discipline, training, spiritual training, morals. No, keep spiritual training for the Buddha. I know what you mean, but I'm joking. So, we have really shortcomings. We care about Bid'ah. That's all. It's good. But concentrating on that only, while forgetting other issues. You see, the Ikhwan Muslimin, for example, I've seen some of their works in Italy. And I saw books for Sa'id Hawa. You know, they talk about Da'wah of Ikhwan Muslimin. I said, did you translate the Quran? It was translated into Italian language, the books of Sa'id Hawa. I said, did you translate the Quran? They said, no. SubhanAllah. You translate books of Ikhwan Muslimin. And you did not translate the Quran until now in Italian? Why? This is the shortcoming in the other corner. They took the Dawah of Ikhwan Muslimin that it should be given to the people. So they have nothing else but the books of Ikhwan Muslimin. So they translated. That's why we find, even English today, we find the books of Al-Ghazali translated into English. The book of Zainab al-Ghazali. She is talking to, she was giving her experience, what happened to her in the jail, and how Abdul Nasser, you know, persecuted her. Why this book should be translated into English? While there are many treasures, they are not translated yet. What is the mistake? The shortcoming, because they focus on a corner, and they left all the others. We may today face the same thing, and I have to give my advice to the Salafi people, and I think most of us are Salafi. We don't want to fall in the same trap. We don't want to fall on the same mistake that the other movements fell in. We have to work for Bid'ah, against Bid'ah, but we have to concentrate on other things also. Tarbiyah. We find that some Salafi people are harsh when they speak. Harsh. we must be merciful to the people of bid'ah, because we must distinguish between those who call in bid'ah and those who call others for bid'ah. You must, akhi, make that distinction. There is difference, great difference, between those who call in bid'ah and those who call others for bid'ah. 5 minutes. But is that okay? Is that okay? Okay. Yes, brother. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I would like to give more talk, you know, especially about this issue. It's very important. But I'm sorry that we don't have the time. I delayed my travel, especially to go to the High Park. So I want to go there, and I can't stay any longer. So please forgive me for that. All right, since the Zuhr Fard at 1 o'clock, okay. Yes, okay, good. So I hope that my brothers take care of the procedure of Dawah, not only Dawah. How to get in touch with these people of the Dawah? How to be merciful? How to ihsan? Ihsan means being better than you should be. Even when someone harms you, you try to be good. Because this is another way of making people love your way of therapy. It's easy to give shaitan help against your brother. You can provoke him. You are wrong. What you're doing is bid'ah. And bid'ah is dalala. And dalala is jahannam. It's easy to say that. And it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. It is right, brother. But the procedure is important. The procedure is important. The approach is very important. The Prophet ﷺ, there was a person who was called, whose name is Himar. His name is Himar. His father called him Himar. He found that's the best name, maybe. That person, Himar, he loves the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. And he lives outside of Medina. And every time he enters Medina, he must bring something as a gift to the Prophet Muhammad. Do you know the story? Do you know the story? No? Okay. So he used, whenever he enters Medina, he passes by a shop of fat. You know, they sell fat and oil. You know the fat? So he brings some fat and he gives it to the Prophet to say, this is a gift for you, O Messenger of Allah. So the Prophet accepts it while smiling. He smiles and he accepts it. And this person was making the Prophet laugh always. You know, the Prophet liked him, and you know, he was, how do you call this person? He has a light spirit. You call him? Did you call it that way? Huh? What? In English? Cheerful? Cheerful?
Cheerful.
Cheerful. Ah, cheerful, yes. Maria, cheerful. So, every time he has to get that box of fat, but in debt, he loans, okay, he takes it, you know, in debt, in credit. So eventually this, the owner of the shop, he threatened that Himar. He said to him, look, every time you take things in credit, now you have to pay me. If you don't pay me, I'll take you to the Prophet. So eventually he took him to the Prophet, and he said, O Prophet of Allah, you see, this man, he always takes things in credit and he does not pay it to me. He took 10 boxes of fat and he did not pay it back until now. So Himar said to the Prophet, well, if you can, O Messenger of Allah, you can pay it for me. You know? So he paid it. So the Prophet paid what he took as a gift. That's why the Prophet used to laugh. So this person, he was brought to the Prophet many times while being drunk. So the Prophet said to the companions, hit him. So the reporter, the one who reports that narration, said, among us, those who hit him, smited him by their shoes, with their shoes. Some others by their hands. One of the brothers said, may Allah curse you. How many times he was brought to the Prophet while being drunk? The Prophet heard that word. He said, no, don't say that to your brother. Don't help the Satan against your brother. sometimes we provoke people and we push them to follow their desires. Sometimes we push the people to listen to the devil. We know that they are wrongdoers. And you know that these people are following al-hawa. You know the meaning of al-hawa in English? Desire. Is that desire? Or appetite? Appetite. They follow their appetite, their desire. So we push them to do that. Come on, come on. You're trying to corner him. You corner him until he says, okay, I'm doing wrong and I want it to be wrong. I'm not going to listen to you. Sometimes happens, okay. Why? Because of the wrong approach. Because of the wrong approach. Al-Hasan al-Husayn, these two, you know, descendants of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom the Prophet loved very much. They saw an old man. You know, dealing with the old man is very difficult. They have different types of mentality. Okay? He knows you, and you are a small person, to come and correct him. So, Al-Hasan al-Husayn saw this person taking his ablution wrongly, in a very wrong way. So Al-Hasan al-Husayn said to him, our father, our uncle, please, we discussed, me and my brother, you know, we were arguing whose ablution is better than the other. So he said, well, show me, how is your ablution? So they showed him their ablution. He said, I think I was wrong and you are wrong. So the approach of da'wah, that's what we see today. We have no problem in talking against the da'wah, but we have problem in giving the right approach to speak against the da'wah. And we should not concentrate on that subject only. So there are other issues we have to do. We have to speak about many issues also. So I say, talking tawheed, talking about bid'ah, it's priority. It's important. But don't take that corner alone while leaving other people. You have to train yourself. Discipline. How to nourish your morals. How to reform. You have many things corrupted in you. The da'wah to Salaf al-Salih is not only by understanding that ta'wil is wrong. Ta'wil is wrong. You know what I'm saying of ta'wil? Giving wrong meanings of the descriptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ta'wil. It's not only to talk about ta'wil, or to denounce ta'wil, or to denounce bid'ah, or to denounce shirk, but there are other things that you have to repair and to reform in the society. Sorry, brother, can now stop your talk. Very shortly for the prayer. Is that Allah okay? Okay, I'll stop my talk. May Allah bless you all, brothers, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help me to come and to focus on this case more and to give you more details, because I think it's important for us today to talk about these cases. Okay.